Welcome to the Erickson Covenant podcast. We are so glad that you've joined us today. We confess that we don't have all the answers, but as a community, we seek to find and follow Jesus and to discover daily the life he has always wanted for us. We hope this message will be encouraging and will inspire you to take the next steps on your spiritual journey. If we can help you in any way, please connect with us. The easiest way is through our website at ericksoncovenant.ca. Let's get started.
And we're now on the third and last of our sermons on the one another's of the New Testament. Today we're going to look at the challenge of, yes, to serve one another. And, you know, it's an interesting morning here. We've got the retreats up at the harbor. And guess what? For some reason, there's no childcare here. No Sunday school. Where are all the servants? It's quite a hole. Right? Every now and again, there's someone isn't around for some reason. And there's a big hole and there's a crisis. And then we realize, oh, yes, there's someone there doing all that work. It's we're surrounded by servers, and that's great. But the value of serving, other than for money, doesn't seem to be much of a big emphasis in our society, right? In schools and colleges and kids' camps, you have programs on how to be a leader. What does it mean to be a leader? How do you lead well? When it comes to the serving, how many camps where the subject is how to serve? Right? There's a hole there somehow. Anyway, let's look at the passage where the phrase serve one another occurs. It's in Galatians 5:13. It says, "You, my brothers, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love." Now, if you're familiar with the book of Galatians, you know that the freedom that Paul is talking about is freedom from the law of God, the law that was given to Moses. It's about grace. And it's a freedom that Paul is insistent on, a freedom brought by the sacrifice of Jesus. God accepts us freely. Into his presence, he loves us as though we're an amazing, perfect child. Because Jesus has cleansed us and cleanses us from all our sins. So we all love freedom, right? We love that feeling we have when we're lying in bed one morning, probably away from home, away from all those responsibilities, maybe on vacation, and you're lying there and you wake up and you think, oh, nothing to do. You stretch your arms. What am I going to do? What shall I do? Maybe I'll start with a coffee on the veranda, on the beach, wherever it is. And then, well, we'll see how it goes. You know, we love freedom. And the freedom that is talked about here is a rather different kind of feeling. Perhaps it's more like the feeling when you've done everything that your parents wanted and expected of you. So you can go to them and you know that they'll accept you into their arms with total confidence, love, and joy and pride. Right? Isn't that a freedom? Or maybe the idea of when you've met all your spouse's expectations for you, every one of them, right? And the hope, their hope for a partner, again, to the extent that the next time you see them, you know they'll look at you with love, if they're sitting beside you now, maybe, look you with love and welcome you gladly into their open arms, right? That's that kind of freedom in love. That's the kind of freedom that Paul is talking about here. A security and freedom to be yourself, to do anything you want, and Jesus has got you covered. Now, the idea sounds great for us mostly. And, you know, if we fail every now and again, we can confess and find this extraordinary kind of relationship refreshed. We can struggle if we find ourselves failing repeatedly and begin to wonder about things. And especially we fail if we see someone else who claims to be a believer, but who's living an awful life of abusing other people, taking advantage of them, hurting them for seemingly no reason at all. It seems wrong that they can repent into freedom anytime they want, even at heaven's door. And it's to address this kind of question that Paul has these verses here that follow the verse we've just looked at, including this verse. In case they have questions about the gospel. And they deal with the realities of living in the grace of God, in the freedom of God, before our welcome into eternity. So let's take a closer look at what Paul is saying. Our freedom in Christ must mean, if anything, freedom to choose. It's a freedom that allows us a choice between two different ways of living that Paul lays out for us. If we're not under the law, surely anything could go. One way is to satisfy the flesh or the sinful nature, as it's put. And that's the self-focused way, doing whatever our self-centered desires suggest to us today, without any moral compunctions and without any regard for other people. That's the one way. The other way to which Paul is pointing us is to humbly serve one another in love. And that's the one another that's been, we've had in the last three sermons. It's the way of a loving community instead of the self-centered way which unfortunately we naturally tend towards and which often hurts other people. We're called to a lifestyle in which we consider others as much as ourselves. A compromised lifestyle which is all about me, but as a bit of serving added on top, like kind of sweet icing, sweet white icing on a black underneath, that just won't do, right? Paul uses two words to describe this higher life of service. And the first is humbly. If you've got another Bible in front of you and it doesn't have humbly there, that's because I got a little confused here for a while. It's because the translators of the NIV are trying to capture the meaning of the word to serve. Because that word to serve in the Greek isn't serve, it's make yourself a slave. So that is true humility, a slave. If you're a slave of someone, you don't have any position. You don't get commended wildly for when you do something good. You just do it. And so humility is a part of this serving that we're talking about. And what is it that Paul's concerned about? Well, think of what serving proudly would look like. Right? Serving proudly means you'd be knowing that you're doing something good and you're knowing that other people are going to see it and will admire you for what you're doing. At least the ones you are serving should do that, and perhaps those who observe or hear about it too. So that kind of serving is done to impress others. It's done to raise your own standard in front of other people. Think of all those plaques that you sometimes see on rooms, on buildings, you know, donated by Doris Duguid in memory of so-and-so. And think of all the corporate sponsorships that you have of sports teams and whatever, and kids' camps. You could go on. It's to draw attention to them, how good they are, to raise up their profile in your mind so that you'll admire them, right? That's when service is done with pride. The alternative is anonymous. Anonymous serving. Done solely for the good of those we're serving, without thought for what others will think. And lots of that humble service does go on in this church. A lot of it is unknown to us, unless you're really close in on the church, keeping tabs on what's going on. We just don't see it. And we're very thankful for all that. So that's one way to serve. Paul says we should serve in that humble kind of way. The other way that he says is that serving must be done with love. Now think about it. If there's no love in what we do, what is going on with us? We're going to be doing it grudgingly, possibly. It'll be done out of duty. That's going back to law, which Paul is all against. So love is essential for the kind of service that he's talking to, the kind of service we are called to. You know, Hannah and Ethan, they're probably finding it quite easy to serve one another at the moment, right? The love hormones have kicked in. They have been for a few months. They will be for a few more months. That makes it easy, right? Love makes service easy. Love takes away the drudgery. Love enables us to smile happily while we serve. Love makes us feel good about serving at the time and afterwards. And generally also enables the one who receives the serving to do it with gratitude. You know, we've all been experienced being served by someone who is forced to do it, and that doesn't make us feel too good, does it? So having said that, though, love isn't always accompanied by a warm feeling as we'd like it to be. And often love is willing service without the fuzzies. But have you noticed that, as I have, that choosing to serve because it's the right thing to do often morphs in us over time into a happy willingness? Have you noticed that? It happens. Anyway, either way, if we're free to serve or not to serve, we need motivation if we're going to serve. And how can we serve if we don't want to and don't feel that love? How do we get the willingness, if not the warm feeling? Well, Paul deals with that question further on in the passage, and it is one of the wonders of our calling. Let's take a look. Galatians 5, reading quite a few verses here, but to get the picture. You, my brothers and sisters, oh, it's in small text. Yes, that's okay. I'll read it anyway. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. So, in verse 16 here, he says, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. And as we do so, we'll show the fruit of the Spirit, which includes the love and kindness, which we're talking about for serving. That's in verse 22. And then towards the end, he says again, finally, keep in step with the Spirit. So the answer to this question of motivation lies in the mystery of the Holy Spirit. Not as an automatic drive to do good, but as an inner resource of purity, strength, and ability. And if you've come to Christ, or if you're coming close, then I'm sure you've felt the presence of the Spirit of God on occasions, if not a lot. You know what it is. So when the pull is there, respond. Respond to the pull. Follow the Holy Spirit. Ask for God's help in those times when you don't feel motivated to serve. And expect that through His Spirit, He will enable you to love with His love. We're in a continuing process, right? We're not all there. It's something that's going on with us as we learn to walk in the Spirit. And Galatians 5:5 points that out earlier in the chapter. By faith, we eagerly await through the Spirit the righteousness for which we hope. So we're in this period of hoping and searching for that fullness of the Holy Spirit that works in us to make us real servants of God and to enable us to do it with a whole heart, joyfully, giving joy to ourselves and joy to those we're serving, joy to those who come to know about it. So, love and the Spirit. But now I want to point you for a few minutes to another important passage on serving in the New Testament. This time it's from the Apostle Peter, speaking about our servanthood in 1 Peter 4:10 and 11. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. Now, we've all been gifts. We've all been gifted in one way or another. Many of us with natural gifts, others of us, we've been given extra gifts since we came under the influence of the Holy Spirit. But what that means is that we can all serve meaningfully. In the new birth, God has remade us to serve. And He's given us strength to serve too. So the Christian life and the life that honors God is one of service. I hope you're grasping that if you hadn't already grasped it. Not only pursuing our own goals, but pursuing the needs of others, providing for the needs of others. And this passage tells us that how our commitment to serve works out depends upon who you are. Some people, as you know, are good at talking. By that I don't mean they talk a lot. I mean that when you've been with that person, you go away feeling encouraged. And Tom talked a little bit about that last week, encouraging one another. That's one of the things we do. That's one of the ways of serving. People who are gifted, as Peter said, about if anyone speaks, they should do as one who speaks the very works of God. That doesn't apply just to teachers. That's all of us. When we talk, how do we talk? Do we talk the words of God? Do we encourage as Jesus did? Do we love as Jesus did? Do we help people forward? If you are someone who's good with your speaking, then use it to honor God. Some of us, you know, we're not gifted in that way, but we have other abilities. We do things. And let's do those things to serve. The Christian life and the life that honors God is one of service. So let's do it. Serving for the good of those around us in the way that's best suited for your gifts. You know your gifts. I don't. None of us know all of them. Use your gifts. Where you serve, where you see the most need. There's always needs coming up. Serve where the opportunities come. The point is that if we have the serving attitude, then we're going to be serving. If we're looking for service, if we're concerned for other people, if we're concerned for our brothers and sisters, we'll be serving. And Peter makes it clear that the way in which we use our gifts is crucial, just on top of the humility and the love that we saw in Galatians. He said, if you speak, you must do so as one who speaks the very words of God. That's a powerful, very challenging thing, isn't it? Calls for self-constraint, calls for time spent with God, if you're going to do that. And similarly, when we serve in nonverbal ways, we can do it with the strength that God provides. And that means that sometimes we'll serve in ways that we think are beyond us. But let's seek God's help in prayer. Life like that is challenging, right? But often very rewarding. The greatest reward comes when we stretch ourselves. So therefore, as you have opportunity, let us do good to all people. That's what Paul says as he's getting towards the end of his letter. Especially to those who belong to the family of believers. So just a last little touch on where we serve. Our brothers and sisters in Christ are family. So let's serve our family. We serve everyone, but we serve our family in particular. It'd be great if everyone, that those we come into contact with, that know we're from Erickson Covenant Church, will follow up that meeting with us by saying, wow, how that Erickson group love one another. You know, but the point is, it sounds a little asking for a lot, that does, right? But it's possible. And the point is that as we do serve the way Jesus served, that's going to be the effect. So let's seek to love one another, to heal any divisions among us, so that we can serve, so that we can love, that the love will spread out, spill over, and people will be just going around giving thanks for all the good that's being done. Let's pray. Father, we ask you to help us as weak, sinful humans to serve. We want to serve the way Jesus served. We do want to do that, Lord, really. Just help us. Just make us aware of the opportunities to serve that lie in front of us. Whether they're in a casual way, whether they're in a formal way here at the church, this church, whether they're somewhere else among the people around us. Just make us people who notice the needs. Make us people who then, out of love, seek to meet those needs. We pray in Jesus' name and his honor. Amen.
Thanks for listening in today. We hope you feel encouraged and challenged. If you know someone who would benefit from what you have heard today, please share this podcast. For more information, or if you have questions, you can connect with us through our website, ericsoncovenant.ca. You can also find us on Facebook by searching for Erickson Covenant Church.